Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is a guest host, Dr. Marty Vaughn. And Marty, it's always good to have you on the broadcast.
We enjoy being here with you, and Dr. Ola is here, and he's on a ministry venture, so it's you and me today.
And I'm excited about it. We're right in the middle, actually, of a series that we began two broadcasts ago on how to restore relationships that have been divided or somehow strained by conflict. And those of you joining us today for the first time, let me encourage you to go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download broadcasts 1 and 2 in this series, Restoring Relationships Biblically. But Marty, you began by talking to us about the need for this out of a passage in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Maybe you can just catch us up briefly on that.
Romans chapter 12, verse 18, this is our capstone verse of what we're talking about here. And the scripture says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. This is our capstone scripture. I think it really is a key reference point for resolving conflict. And we're going to unpackage that in a greater way even today. But I liked at the end of the last broadcast what you were saying, and I think we need to review that just a couple of minutes. Give me the hallway illustration that we talked, in fact, about after we were gone off the air.
You mentioned that all of our horizontal relationships need to be maintained biblically because of what God did for us in our vertical relationship.
That's what we're calling the we because of he principle.
Right.
In other words, because he
repaired the relationship with us.
We have to love. That's right.
And so my comment then was, all right, so I'm listening to this, and I really want to dwell at peace with all men, and here's my brother, and he walked by me, and he didn't say hi to me. Or here's my sister, and I was talking to her, and she cut me off in mid-sentence to go talk to somebody else, and it really bothered me. And so I'm going to go confront that person now because I am in relational division with them because of what they did. And I said, now we have, this is typical in most of our churches. This is typical in most institutions. I call these people the Speak the Truth and Love Club.
Right.
And the card-carrying member of the Speak the Truth and Love Club feels like any time somebody has done something that bothers him, he or she is going to go to that person and speak the truth in love and literally confront that person. And I don't really think that's what Romans 12:18 has in mind.
That's not what it's all about. Romans 12:18 is talking about that sinful, offensive relationship that creates relational distance. But however, we do need to deal with the people in the Speak the Truth in Love Club, as you described it. And I think there's a very clear exercise and grid that we can go through. If you were to come to me and you said, Marty, when I was talking to you the other day, you did not look at me long enough when we were talking, and it was some ridiculous charge that you were trying to lay on my account.
Or it really did bother you. I mean, it's something that I didn't mean to do, but it really bothered you.
Yeah. And here's what I like to tell people to practice. First of all, practice being dead to yourself and alive to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I were a dead person, how you looked at me or how long you, whether you spoke to me or in what little tone you spoke to me, it wouldn't make a whole lot of difference if I were dead. I think we need to realize that. Second, I always realize that God, in a spirit of humility, I always have to approach this and say that God can use any person at any time to teach me and help me grow in Christ. But the third thing that I think is important for our listeners to grasp is the fact that we must understand that a person who is constantly doing this to another person and constantly correcting, they have a need within themselves. And so when I see that, rather than causing me to react and say, oh, no, here he comes again or here she comes again. Mm-hmm. I did something else. I wasn't perfect again. Rather than doing that and allowing that to become our mode of operation, we need to be moved with compassion inside and say, hey, this person really has a need. This is why they are going to me and to others and every little thing's bothering them.
This
and
is so, why they have no healthy relationships.
Exactly.
Or they can't maintain healthy relationships.
Right. And so, particularly as a counselor, I sit back and discern what that need is. That causes me to pray for the person. It causes me to be compassionate toward them. And it really gives me an opportunity, hopefully, at some time in the future to help them to see why they do this and help them restore other relationships.
And I think we need to observe that, you know, the verse in Ephesians 4 that does talk about speaking the truth in love, we don't want to in any way demean that verse
absolutely.
By using the Speak the Truth in Love Club illustration, we're certainly not saying we shouldn't obey what Ephesians 4 says. But in the context of that paragraph, Speak the Truth in Love is the preaching of God's Word to a congregation so that they can grow together in the maturity that God designed and desires for the body. It's not necessarily that I need to go and talk to every individual who did something that kind of frustrated me.
Exactly. And obviously, we always speak the truth, but sometimes we don't need to tell all of the truth. In other words, if I know there's some difficulty and somebody asks me something about Dr. Horn and I say, well, yes, I know him, and then right away I'm anxious to speak more
all the things
about
that you know. Yeah,
all the things that you know about the person in a practical, personal application, that's not speaking truth in love either.
Yeah, I think we just need to say that when we speak, we need to give the truth to those who have a legitimate right to know it.
Amen.
And we
that's
need
right.
to tell the truth in ways that do not allow Satan to create a sinful scenario or a hurtful scenario, which is what he wants to do.
Absolutely. And now to get back to what we're talking about here in the resolution of conflict, the point is here of Romans 12, and I think listeners need to realize this, all of us, I as an individual, we need to realize this. I don't have an option when it comes to conflict if I'm going to obey the command of Christ. In other words, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 18, mm-hmm. other verses, other sections of Scripture clearly say when there is a conflict, there must be reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I am asked, as much as lieth within me, to make peace with every man. Because sometimes in one of our broadcasts, you mentioned a phrase earlier that sometimes people just feel like walking away. I'm giving up because it's mostly their fault and all 99 other excuses.
Yeah, and I've played it all the way through in my head, and I already know how it's going to turn out.
That's
and
exactly
there's no
right.
way I can win, and so why even get into it?
And my answer to you as a counselor, you really don't have the luxury of that choice if you're going to be an obedient Christian. If you're going to live your life according to the Bible, which is the reference point with what you say you're going to live as a Christian, you don't have a choice but to go and resolve conflict. But that brings me to
Before you get to that point, let me ask a tough question. And maybe some of our listeners, if they could sit around this table with us and drink coffee and hear this and participate in this, would have this question. Okay, so I know the Bible tells me to resolve conflict. I understand the kind of conflict that I'm supposed to confront, that it's not just my irritation with somebody else's personality.
Those are broken relationships.
This is a sinful thing that needs to be dealt with, that either I've committed and broken a relationship or they've done to me, and so we've got to resolve this. I don't have any options. Okay, here's the hard question. There are times, and I think you would agree with this, Marty, that I already know or strongly suspect that it isn't going to go well.
That's exactly right. And
so what do I do?
And you know what? The neat thing about it is God knew that well before we did, obviously. And that's why he said, as much as lies within you, or as much as possible. In other words, you know, Paul is literally conceding here.
It may not go well.
It takes two to tango, you know. And so it may not go well. And so what he's saying here, the hardest thing sometimes to face is when you are in a process of reconciliation and really desiring to be reconciled, and you're just hoping everything goes well. But listen, Romans 12:18 does not promise, and this is the key, that every broken relationship will be reconciled. We have the responsibility to go and do our part. But we can't put our hope in something that God has not guaranteed. And he has not guaranteed that every conflict will be resolved. So we can't do that.
And sometimes we just don't have the ability to restore what we've taken if we're the offending party.
Exactly.
Like if we did something that resulted in somebody's death, we just don't have the ability to restore that life to the people that were affected by that.
Exactly. Or the truth of the matter is, let's bring it right down home to where marriages are, a broken mm-hmm. relationship in marriage. And here is one of the partners that really, truly is broken over what has happened and wants to sincerely reconcile, but the other partner will have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to what that does, because I think there's two very critical, important lessons that we can learn when it comes to what we're going to do in terms of solving that relationship. And I think we need to talk about that in our next broadcast, because what happens when I go to that person, when I make, here I'm following your instructions as a mm-hmm, pastor, mm-hmm. and I go to make
reconciliation.
I
humble myself.
I humble myself.
I do everything that I'm supposed to do.
I say the right words. I ask. I say, God has convicted me. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And the person just goes off and blasts and blows me off and says, get out of my
life.
Get out of my life. I had one of those experiences in my ministry years.
So what do you do?
Early ministry years. Well, first of all, you have to – there's two things that you have to realize. First of all, this is a test. This can be a test. There's two things that happen in this setting when someone refuses to reconcile. First of all, it tests your faith. Do you really believe that God wanted you to go and make that right?
And the answer is we know that from the Bible.
Exactly. Second, and this is even more critical – it exposes what's really in our hearts. In other words, now understand I'm saying this. We might have to pick it up in our next broadcast. But am I idolizing, if I could use that word, am I making an idol out of having to have this reconciliation more than I am out of loving God? Because sometimes people are so determined that we're going to reconcile this relationship that that is their driving desire. So it really exposes my motive
yeah.
in my heart.
Maybe another way of saying it is, the reason I'm going to reconcile this relationship is I want the relationship more than I want anything else.
You
and I'm
it.
Willing to do whatever it takes to get the relationship.
That's right.
But God wants me to be right whether or not I get the relationship back. And that's why I've got to go to be reconciled.
And you know what? Sometimes our demand and our desire to be reconciled, when we go for reconciliation, sometimes what we have in our heart is a subtle demand toward the other person and toward God. Mm-hmm. Make this work.
Yeah, you've said it before that regardless of the consequences, we need to do what's right.
Right.
And sometimes we want the consequence enough that we're willing to do what's right. And that sounds really just like a little semantic thing, but it isn't. It really needs to be, we want to do what's right regardless of the consequences. Well, folks, it's been a great broadcast, and we're looking forward, Marty, to the next broadcast where we continue our discussion on resolving and restoring relationships biblically. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.